Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Y'all ready for this word? All right, we speak into the atmosphere. Revelation, we say, let there be light. Welcome to the Metron Live podcast, coming to you live from beautiful historic Midtown Atlanta. Metron people, give the podcast people a big welcome. We're glad that you are here. I have to say I've thoroughly enjoyed this series. I think I've said this about all of them, but I think this has been my favorite series. And at least it's up there in some of the top favorites. And not only because of the revelation, but I've, you know, walked it out. Even, you know, we told you, Ken and I told you about the miracle that happened when me calling my stuff back out of the river. And we've kept talking about it, remembering more things. But even, you know, I told you there was a check in there that the ink was not blurred on it at all, which is unusual. And even there's a list of numbers that I asked my mom for, like emergency numbers. And, you know, if something happened to both of you, who would I call, whatever. And I probably shouldn't have been carrying it in my wallet, but I was. And it was all in her handwriting. And none of that even, none of it blurred. I mean, it's just amazing for a piece of paper with ink to be under the water for 3 hours. And it really just was supernatural. And it's established this in me even more. I don't have 7 points today. I've just got one scripture I want to share with you, and we'll finish this up today. But it's the title is Manifesting the Breath of Life, Embracing the Transition from Living Soul to Life-Giving Spirit. And before we get to today's scripture, for the sake of context, this title is taken out of 1 Corinthians 15, where it talks about the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. And we're using that as a model of how we transition. The divinity is already in us. I'm just going to tell you, Jesus didn't die on the cross to get God to stop being mad at you. Jesus came to the earth to help you reveal the divinity that was always in you, to show you that what you thought was the fallen nature. When God says to Adam, who told you you were naked, Jesus came and said, I'm telling you, you're divine. And he took it all the way to the cross. And I do believe in the resurrection. I believe in a literal resurrection, which a lot of people who sort of think like me don't necessarily believe it's literal. I do. I'm not ever going to abandon some of those tenets of the Apostles' Creed. But I don't believe it was to get God to not send us to hell. God has always been love, always. And the people in the Old Testament who didn't know that were projecting their own ideas onto the ideas of God. But anyway, that's where that came from. And the scripture I want to show you today, this is Philippians 4:6. In the King James, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. This is in the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. It says, do not be habitually worried, anxious, or overly concerned about anything. And I like that he used the word, the Greek tense of the word means not just worry. Something's legitimate to worry about. You know, if the brakes go out in your car, you probably shouldn't be riding around going, I ain't worried. No, you should probably be concerned about that. But the it's the habit of worry. It's the just being worried about everything and making up stuff to be worried about and borrowing trouble and just getting addicted to anxiety. One thing Dr. Joe Dispenza said that really resonated with me when I went to hear him in person, he said, we don't realize how addicted we get to negative emotions. We don't even think we're negative, but if we don't think that way, we don't feel like ourselves. So he said, some people they're not trying to be negative. They're just trying to feel like themselves. And they've been negative for so long, they don't know how not to think that way. And that's why even I was having this conversation with my mom because, you know, Christina's a good mom, but she's raised the girls to be really individualized. And they, you know, last Christmas, Olivia, second grade, flew out to see her other grandmother and, you know, wasn't even scared. And mom said, I was telling mom about it. She said, I wouldn't fly alone now, much less when I was in second grade. She said, are you worried? I said, well, the airlines know what they're doing. I mean, it's not unusual. They will, a flight attendant will be assigned to them. And they, I mean, they're, I've never heard of a, an airline losing a child. But yeah, you do think, what would happen if there was a problem or they had to, you know, what? I said, however, I hate fear so much, I would rather them be raised to know how to fly in second grade than not knowing how to get through an airport. I'd rather them not be intimidated. And, you know, when Olivia came back, I asked her, I said, how was your flight? She said, it was great, but this woman sat next to me and would not shut up. She talked the whole time. I was trying to play a game on my iPad, and I thought, okay, lady, all right already. I said, you're going to be fine. You're going to be just fine. And like, you know, because you'd think she'd be like, oh my God, well, you know, can I sit in your lap or something? She's like, lady, I'm trying to concentrate. That's actually a very healthy sign. But anyway, I like that he says, do not be habitually worried. Because worry, your brain chemistry can get so acclimated to worry that you just, your first response is to worry about something. Your first response is to expect something negative to happen, even for crazy stuff. Like if you ever hear, I always cringe when I hear somebody say something like, it'd be just my luck. You know, they'll say some horrible thing. We've been planning this cruise for 2 years. It'd be just my luck. We all come down with the flu that week. Like, oh, man, don't project that into your future, because 2 years from now, your body's already set the alarm, and you're probably going to get the flu 2 years from now. Like, don't do it. I'm going to tell you something. I've been thinking about doing a video about this. If you think this is radical, judge it however you will, you probably won't. But I've gotten to where I don't ever want to correct anybody about their words, because I believe your word, it has to come by revelation. You have to, if you don't have a revelation of it, it doesn't matter how much somebody edits you or whatever. So that's why I let people say stuff around me that I'm like, oof, that's fine for you to say. I would never say that. But you know what I've noticed? Like, the people who just complain about traffic all the time always get caught in traffic jams. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Nobody likes traffic. It's not like I love it. But I do live in the city, and it's not, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I lived here long enough, I kind of know what areas to avoid certain times of day. But I think because I don't talk so much about how much I hate getting caught in traffic jams, I don't get caught in them. I mean, really, what you resist persists. And if you complain about weather, if there's certain things you complain about, watch out. Some people would say, well, I'm just complaining about it because I don't like it. Well, you might not like it because you're complaining about it. It's kind of a chicken or the egg thing. And I think a lot of things, just be careful, because there's some things that legitimately, yeah, when it's hot in the summertime, yeah, that's, you do have to adjust to that. But if you're just griping and moaning about it all the time, don't be surprised when your air conditioning breaks down. Do you know what I mean? Like if anything becomes the end of the world to you, watch out, because the end of the world may come. That's why, and this is really out there, I don't even argue with people about hell anymore, because I think, well, you know, if you believe in it that much, it may be real for you. You know, maybe, you know, it's not for me. I'm not going. If there is one, I'm not going there. But it's so much a part of your consciousness. Maybe somewhere in the universe, you are going to end up there. So anyway, that's the whole thing about the inhale, the exhale. I'm believing for the best. Like I'm going to try to avoid a traffic jam. But it's not going to be the end of the world if I get caught in one. Do you ever do that self-talk? I've done it before when I'm like, okay, I'm getting anxious in this traffic jam. I have to remember, I'm sitting in air conditioning on leather seats listening to XM radio. There are 7 million channels. I have Siri that I can say, Siri, play Elton John. And she's like, okay, here's some. You know, she understands what I'm saying. Many times she misunderstands it. Like, how the heck did you get that from what I just said? But okay. But I have to remind myself, like, this isn't a problem. Would be having to walk today in 100-degree weather. You know, the fact that I'm in a car, this too shall pass. All right. Do not be habitually worried, anxious, or overly concerned about anything. On the contrary, in everything and within every situation, by thinking and speaking toward having goodness and having things go well. I love this. thinking and speaking toward having goodness and having things go well and with ease or in prayer and in expression of need. Together with thanksgiving, repeatedly let your requests be made known toward or face to face with God. I'm going to tell you, you know, social media has changed our world. And if you know how to use it to your advantage, there's actually a way that social media creates a virtual reality that becomes a reality. Like, I would never tell anybody not to do this. I have family members, friends who, you know, all kind of, that your page is your page. That's your platform. I will never censor you or edit you. I will tell you this. If you get in the habit of ranting all the time about something, you're going to have something to rant about all the time. And that's why if something's beautiful, I photograph it. Even the pictures we just showed you from yesterday. I mean, I hate that when I check in, it says funeral home and crematory. I mean, crematory is just such a dark word, but it is what it is. That's the only way you can check in. But I'm looking around and I think, you know, these are people, I know everybody's issues and drama, and I've had drama with this one, that one's had drama with me, whatever. But I do love these people, and these are a part of me, and I don't know when I'm going to see them again. And so just watching people talk, there was to be different little vignettes, seeing my dad sit there with his only surviving brother now. I just wanted to snap a picture of that. I want to remember positive things. I want to document my life, and if it's beautiful, I want to talk that up, because the more you talk up the beautiful stuff, the more the beautiful stuff occurs. I've told you about my first roommate in college. He said, you know, you just believe the word because everything good happens to you. Such a good life. I said, well, no, I have a good life because I believe the word. He said, no. If you didn't have everything so good, you wouldn't have the faith that you do. I said, no, I have everything so good because I have the, it's like, I could argue this with you, but there's no such thing as luck. The sun will shine on anybody that'll get out in it. You can say, well, some people are called. Yeah, some people are called. Some people are anointed. And that's a special thing that has an indefinable part to it that I can't explain fully. But even with an anointing or a gift, you could still have a lousy life. I mean, I know people that were gifted and anointed and still had horrible, horrible lives. I've thought about this, and I think we've discussed this before, but I was good friends with the Rambos, you know, for years. And when I listened to Dottie Rambo's testimony, it always hurt me when she would say she went out in the woods and she wrote a song and she came in and sang the song for her mother. And her mother said, where'd you get that song? She said, I just wrote it. And she said, oh, little Dottie, you're going to pay a terrible price for that gift. And I every time I hear that, I think, why would you say that to a little girl? Why wouldn't you say, oh, my God, this gift's going to take you around the world and open. And it did. It did open doors for her. It did take her around the world. But my God, the trauma that she had in her life. And I'm not totally blaming on her mother. She was the walking in the light that she had. But you think, why would you say that? It's okay to prepare your kids for reality. I'm not saying that you shouldn't tell them to look both ways when they cross the street and, you know, you got to work for a living and that kind of stuff. But there's a way you can say something without just moving somebody in a certain direction. I'm telling you, words. Oprah says the whole reason she became what she became, she said, I attribute it to one teacher in fifth grade. Because she's, I'm telling you, nobody in my life had ever said anything positive to me. And she said, I stood up in fifth grade to give an oral report, and the teacher said to me, Oprah, you really speak well in front of people. You would do really well in broadcasting. And she said, it doesn't sound that powerful now, but if you'd never had that, and, you know, all if you know anything about her background, I mean, it was not an easy life at all. And she said, when she said that, it changed the trajectory of my life. And she said, from that sentence on, I started moving toward broadcasting. And, you know, what she became because of that. Would she have become that teacher hadn't said that? I don't know. I think the potential, you're born with certain gifts, but if they're not watered in a certain or encouraged in a certain direction, they either will not manifest or they will work against you. I mean, who knows? Hitler might have had a great anointing because he could influence people. If it wasn't nurtured properly, it became a horrible thing. I don't know. But anyway, I want to end this with, I love that he says, speak toward good things. You know, every time I watch it, there's just this great energy on when Maria says to the children, raindrops on roses, whiskers on kittens. And she starts singing, warm, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. How's that spiritual? Because she's saying, you're all afraid of this storm. Storms are real, but the way you're going to make it through the storm is to start thinking about some of your favorite things. And there's a great, powerful truth to that. When the dog bites, when the bee stings. I'm not saying dogs don't bite. I'm not saying bees don't sting. But I simply remember my favorite things and I don't feel so bad. And that's really what I want you to take from this teaching this month. I'm not saying that negative things don't exist. And even the pastor in me makes me always aware when I talk about personal responsibility in your life. I'm very aware that people are dealing with serious stuff. And you gotta filter that with some grace, because you just can't, even if you created it, you can only bear the responsibility of it so much. Say, you know, oh my God, are you saying I've made things happen in my life? Surely I didn't make, because there have been some things that happened to you as a child or whatever that, yeah, are totally beyond your control. That being said, I still like the feeling of empowerment I get when I think, no, I signed up for my life. Somewhere in eternity, I saw it coming and I volunteered. I will be that guy. I will be born into that situation with everything that comes with it, and I will overcome. Even if I can't, even if there are some unanswerable things, by the time I exit here, if I am going to indeed exit, I don't know. Some days I think I may just not die. I don't know. But I'm looking into it. But if I do go to the next dimension, I want to leave here as positive and as free and as having no regrets, having I wouldn't change a thing about it. Just looking back at all of it and not feeling negative about one bit of it. I love the idea of that, just saying I own it all. I believe for the best, but I am always prepared for the worst. And if the worst happens, I can handle it. Not only can I handle it, I will turn the worst into the best. You know, when you read that Joseph story, it was in Genesis, that's harsh. You know, I didn't have siblings, but I can imagine what it would be like to have your siblings hate you so much that they sell you into slavery and then go back to your father and lie to him, tell him that you've died, and basically steal your life. I mean, he was like a young teenager when it happened. And he goes off to slavery in Egypt as a young man, doesn't speak the language, gets thrown into prison on a false rape charge from Potiphar's wife, spends, I don't even remember how many years he ends up in prison. And you think, you know, of all these years, to think if I could have, you know, if I ever get out of here, they're going to get theirs. And when he finally does meet them there in chapter 50 of Genesis, and they realize that he's the Pharaoh of Egypt, they say, they're afraid he's going to kill them, because he could. He could have said, execute every one of them, and I'm going to watch. And he said, you know what, you meant it for evil, but God used it for good. That is the most empowering statement you can make, because he said, if you hadn't done it, we would have all stayed in Canaan and we'd have starved to death. And like, wow. I mean, Joseph may be my main hero in the Bible, because that's such a proactive stance to say, I don't regret all, because those his brothers all got married and grew up together, and they had lives and families, and he didn't. He's rotting in a jail cell somewhere, and yet when he finally, and it wasn't. You can say, well, yeah, he could say that because now he was the Pharaoh of Egypt. No, he was the Pharaoh of Egypt because he could say that. It's not. Look, circumstances aren't going to improve your attitude. Just remember that. If you say, well, if things got better, yeah, I'd be nicer and I'd be full of gratitude. No, you wouldn't. If that's what you believe, you might as well believe in gremlins and unicorns and fairies, because that does not exist. That's why gratitude is so important. You say, well, I don't have anything to be grateful for. Are you alive? Did you breathe today? I mean, you've got something to be grateful for. Now, come on. And the more you open up that gratitude piece, you just the quantum field just starts. It's like that. I love in Thanksgiving. You see those cornucopias, you know, this thing that they're the sign of abundance. You see the harvest coming out. That's the quantum field is a cornucopia of good things that comes to you, and those good things are all around. But if you're not grateful for what you already have, you're not getting more. Like when people say, if I win the lottery, I'm going to tithe it to the church. No, you're not. Not if you're not tithing now, you're not going to then. If you're not giving on what you make now, you certainly aren't going to in $10 million. That's a lie. But, you know, I mean, I don't even, it's so funny for me to say the word tithe because I think I've said that word twice in 5 years. But my dad had a guy in one of his churches come to one time, and he said, you know, Pastor, when I was making minimum wage, it was really easy to tithe, but now that I'm making a really good salary, it's just really hard to, you know, give 10%. And Dad said, well, that's no problem. I can just pray that you start making minimum wage again. He said, no, don't do that. You know, but the thing is, if you're not a giver now with what you have, you're not going to be a giver with more. That's just a lie. If I had a nickel for all the people that over the years have been part of pyramid schemes and multi-level stuff, and I'm going to make all this money and give. I've never saw a penny of it. The people that are givers just start giving with what they have. That's why that was always my feeling about ministry. Even when I would ordain care pastors in the church, I would notice these people, this family, this couple, they already have influence. Like they don't even realize it, but they're already pastoral. They might not be preachers, but they know how to take care of people. And there are some people I would say, I feel like you should be a care pastor. They'd be like, what? I've never even thought of that. Yeah, you are. You don't even realize you're doing it. But then I'd have other people that would come to me and say, I feel like I'm called to ministry. I need to know what to do. You're not, if you're asking me what to do in ministry, you're not called to anything specific. If you're called to do it, you just do it. It's like what you're doing with your YouTube. You just start. This is probably the craziest time in your life to be starting something like that. That's not the point. You just start something. The people that do stuff are just people that just do stuff. They don't wait till a thing happens or somebody anoints them to do it. They just do it. Really, that's all ordination is. When a higher body ordains you, they just recognize what you've already been doing. So this idea that, well, I understand the inhale, exhale thing, but, you have no idea the drama that's been happening in my life. Well, you better shut up about it, because the more I've been telling you about the list for years, and I still meet people with lists. What are you talking about the list? The list is when you ask somebody, how are you doing? And they have more horrible things to tell you from the last 7 horrible things they told you. Well, if you thought it was bad last time, yeah, now since that happened, you're like, oh my God, you don't understand. The list has taken over your life. The list, your list of negatives has now become attractive. So it's attracting more negatives. And until you get rid of that list is going to get longer. And every time I talk to you, you're going to have another horrible thing to tell me about. You know, those people that when they start telling you their story, you just glaze over because you're like, good God, what else possibly could happen to you? You, at a certain point, you have to say, I'm going to change the list. I'm going to change the energy. Today's a good day. I am grateful. I'm happy to be here. I mean, you could start. Obviously, you all have clothes today. How many of you had some vehicle to get over here today? So you must have had, I'm assuming you had some gas in a tank, or otherwise a car wouldn't have made it. So that means you must have, you at least had enough money to fill up your car with some gas. Is that true? So that means you must be either gainfully employed or somebody likes you and gave you some money or something. So I don't want to get too much in your business, but did anybody have a little bite of something to eat this morning? Like, was there anything in the refrigerator, the cupboard, or whatever? All right, you start. You say, well, that's just a given. No, that's how you start. You start, and the reason I want to photograph stuff, the reason I want to experience stuff, the reason I want to remember stuff, and my granddaughters, they've just gotten used to it because when I'm with them, I'm going to document it. And they're like, Poppy, I don't want to take a picture. I'm like, look, you don't understand. There will never be another Thursday like this. The next time I see you, you will not look like this. So when you're older, you'll understand this and you'll thank me for it. But right now, you're going to do it. And so now they've just learned, as soon as I came in, I'm like, y'all come here. And they, because I want to remember this day. You know, sometimes I'll look at little signs of their growth, whatever. I'm like, oh, wow. It's just, they're growing up so much. And so you want to remember it because, boom, it's like half my cousins yesterday, I don't even know who their children were. I'm like, they have three boys? Like, I had no idea because I haven't seen them and life goes on. All right. So that's where I'm going to end the teaching. Charles, give me about a 7-minute one, and let's meditate it out as kind of a Selah. For the inhaling, the exhaling, both feet on the floor, sit up straight, clear your lap. I want to make your body just a channel of energy. Best posture you can get. We're going to start with our breathing. Breathe in through your nose. Hold it. Breathe out through your mouth. In through your nose. Hold it. Exhale. Probably by about the third breath, you'll start feeling relaxation. You're going to create a beautiful day today. You need to get in a relaxed mode. Out of stress, don't create out of drama. You want to create from a place of peace. You want to create from a place of serenity. So become steady in your breathing. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. If you want to do a mudra with your hands or however you're receptive,
still is fine for
lower frequencies, we're at a higher frequency. It doesn't matter what the weather is like. We're moving out of just trying to get our bills paid to becoming givers, investors. We're moving away from just trying to be healthy to becoming healers ourselves. To it, and it was good to finish this on a meditation. Let's all stand. Meditation got you all relaxed. You can tell being all zen. Did you get anything out of this today, this month? All right. Please remain standing for this, and then I'll speak a blessing over your week.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. You can give anytime using any smartphone. Text the amount you'd like to donate to 404-620-5044. You will then receive a notification that you successfully completed your donation. You may also visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab to give there as well. When you contribute to Metron, you're also donating to the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment into Metron.
If you have a check, make it to JESM, and Danny will receive that. If you have cash, pay it forward and bless somebody with it. You're going to have a beautiful day, quality rest tonight, productive week coming up. Good things are coming to you because you are a life-giving spirit. You wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. God will rejoice and be glad in it. Peace. I love you.